Hello, ladies and gentlemen. How are you? Welcome to Ari Shaffir's Skeptic Tank. This is episode 59, I believe. You never know. But on this episode, I talked to my friend Ralphie May. I'll get to that in a second, actually. But I just want to say I recorded my album in Denver this last weekend at the Comedy Works, and it came out great. I have not heard the audio yet, but just 30 seconds into the 8:30 show, I think I might have even told the crowd, but my thought was, oh, this is it. This is the one. You guys were just awesome. The whole weekend was awesome, but the tape came out great. And it makes me so happy. I have this material that I'm done with that I didn't want to just bury forever and have no one hear it. So I'll finally get all this stuff down on a CD, iTunes, or wherever from my site. They'll be sold. And then people can find them if they want to find them and do whatever. And just enjoy them so they're just not dead to the world from then on. So I got it. It makes me really happy. So thank you, all of you, for coming out. And also thank you for everyone who's seen me do all the material over the years, because you've helped me, you know, edit it and change it into what it became. So all those bits, anyone who saw it, you have a sort of a hand in the creation of those bits of that material. So thank you to everybody. So, to this episode, I'm going to be talking to my friend and cohort and colleague, Mr. Ralphie May. Ralphie is, there's different levels of comedian. There's A level, B level, C level. I'm probably B level. I don't know. Ralphie's like an AA level. These are guys that play any club in the country. Whenever the club, you know, gets a call from them, they're happy to take them in. Ralphie's one of those comics. He hasn't done much like TV and movies. But he hasn't really had to, because he's just a fucking massive comic. He does theaters everywhere, and people love him. I opened for him in Phoenix. I did in Brea, too, but I opened for him in Phoenix a couple months ago, and it was just really, it's really interesting to see the way he works and see the way he connects with fans. But anyway, that's not what I'm going to talk about in this episode. In this episode, I'm going to talk, if you know Ralphie, you might know that one of his most outstanding features is that he's humongous. He's fat. He's morbidly obese. We talk about this later. And I just wanted to talk. I've had him in mind for this subject for like months and months and months. What's that like? What's it like being that fucking fat to where you're sweating all the time? Or where you're like, how much care do you have to take? How do you avoid certain situations? Like, how do you not die? All these questions. And Ralphie was kind enough to be real open with me about all of it. So it was fun. It was a lot of fun. So thank you, Ralph May, very much for inviting me into your home. We went up there and just shot the shit and talked about it for a while. It was fun. We also talk a shitload about pot, because Ralphie smokes more than anyone I've ever met. It's like he's breathing it. Really, it is. So we talked a lot about that too. You guys like it. So let me just tell you real quick about upcoming dates. I've got Stanford and Sons in Kansas City this week. If you live in Kansas City, come on out. And then the next big date is June 13th in San Francisco. San Francisco, June 13th at Cobb's Comedy Club. Please come out to that. It's just one night. And then from there, I go straight to Sacramento and do the punchline in Sacramento. But yeah, come out to that. And I'll be at Ottawa in Blues Fest in July. Those are the first like 4 days of Blues Fest. I'll be there. I love music festivals. I love them. They're so much fun. Ralphie actually invited me last year to go to Bonnaroo with him. He was like, bro, he's just so nice. Here's the deal. He's actually one of the nicest guys I've ever met. He's so positive. And when I started comedy, he was one of those guys. Steve Simone used to always do an impression of him. But it was along these lines. It was something like, oh man, Ari, you hella funny, man. He would just be kind. When we were open micers and we were shitty, he would just be nice to us. It's just something I'll never really forget. And in that, because of that, I should do this, actually. All right, in honor of Ralphie May and all his kindness that he used to show us, just honestly, just with a few words, it's that easy to be nice to people that are like beginning. Just a few words here or there. If I see a young comic who's funny, it's just like, you go up to him and be like, hey, that was a great job. That's really funny. Just a little bit of encouragement. It just goes so far. So in that, I will say this. People have asked me how I do this podcast, like logistically, like, you know, technically how I do it. Ask questions about the recorder and stuff. So at the end of the second part of this podcast, I will break down for anyone who wants to know exactly what it takes to do a podcast in terms of what I use and everything like that. So listen to the end of part B of this if you want to start your own, and I will just walk you through it. And then also for shows, by the way, the first week of June, I'll be in Connecticut at Foxwoods, at Comics at Foxwoods. It's 7th, 8th, and 9th in June. These are all available, by the way, on my website. So so go to my website, and that's it. Also, I'm going to be in Vegas, not for a show, but just in Vegas to watch Mayhem, my friend Jason Mayhem Miller, fight in the UFC. And I'll probably be doing another edible hunt while I'm there. So if you guys are at the fight, fucking be cool and be ready to watch my Twitter at Ari Shaffir for clues on how to find your own edibles so you can enjoy the fights just like I do. Is that it? Are we good for shows? Did I say everything? My sponsors, I will say these. Amazon.com, thank you guys very much if you've already been using it. If you go to my website, arithegreat.com, there's an Amazon banner on the right. It's a brown banner. If you click on that and then do all your shopping on Amazon, then they give me like a kickback for cash. They just kick some of their money that they make out of it, and they just send it to me. So please do that. Go through my site, arithegreat.com, hit that banner, and then do all your shopping normally at Amazon. And then someone suggested this. Once you click on that site, you can bookmark it. Once you click through my website, you can just bookmark it, so then you don't have to keep going to my website. Although, you know, do if you want. Because also on my website, there's tons of extra shit. I put like all the music, all the videos I use for the music, I put on there on my website. I spend way too long doing it. The whole actual process of doing the podcast probably takes me, if actual work, 40 minutes. Not recording the thing and not finding the people to actually, like, you know, to actually interview, but just the finalizing and all that stuff probably takes me 40 minutes, but maybe an hour. But the fucking finding the music and getting all that shit done and doing these intros and outros to the point where I don't hate myself, those things takes me 4 or 5 hours. So just searching for thematically appropriate music. Ugh. But I like it. I don't know. I sort of enjoy doing it. And I think like 4% of you like it. So whatever. And also, if you have anything to tell me in terms of like the music, or you're enjoying it, or you're not enjoying something in a nice way, if you want to say that, send me a letter. Either hit me on Twitter at Ari Shaffir, or through my website, contact@arithegreat.com. Or you can also write contact@arishaffir.com. They both go through to my email. So yeah, I'm not going to always write back, but I'll always read them. So please do that. The other sponsor I have is Gamefly.com. If you go to Gamefly.com/Ari, there's another banner, if you don't remember that, on my website. And you sign up for a 2-week free trial, 15-day free trial, then they give me a grip of cash. I like to compare it to about as much as an ounce of weed costs. So go there, sign up for a free trial. Keep it or don't keep it. I don't care. It doesn't matter. If you don't use video games at all, fucking get rid of it. But if you play video games, it's the worst when you actually buy a video game and it sucks. And you're like, oh, this is going to be awesome. And it sucks. And you're like, fuck. I just spent how much money on this goddamn game that sucks. And you try to play it and people are like, no, it gets better as you go. And then you keep playing. You're like, when? When does it get better? Because it sucks just as much now as it did before. Anyway, so Gamefly helps with that. You just get your shit, and if it sucks, just send it back. God, like that game where you have to jump up on towers and stab people. Everyone's like, it's so good. It's not good. It's not good. What is it? I'm going to find it right now. Madden. I bought Madden from fucking a homeless guy for $1, and that's so much better. Saints Row was good. Call of Duty 4 was good. Rainbow Six Vegas. Oh, maybe I threw it away. Well, I don't have it anymore. Portal, that's good. Oh, yeah, get Portal, by the way. Portal and Portal 2 for Xbox. If you do fucking Gamefly, get those. They're fun as shit. They're like puzzle games, but they're great. All right, you guys. So I guess that's it for sponsors. I'm going to have a Spotify sponsor really soon. I don't know what the deal is with that. And then I'll mix these up, too, so I don't keep boring you with the same ones. I'll get, like, different ones in different episodes. And in terms of these introductions, by the way, here's what I finally figured out. If I just add and talk and have some fun with these, then they're not so bad. So I'm not going to try to make them 4.5 minutes. I'll make them 10, but I'll make some jokes in there, so it won't be so boring for you. All right. This one's 10 minutes right now. You guys, Ari Shaffir's Skeptic Tank, episode 59. with the one and only Mr. Ralphie May. Maybe we should call him morbidly obese, or maybe just fat. I think fat. Morbidly obese is a different thing. Just fat. Ladies and gentlemen, episode 59, Fat, with the one and only Ralphie May. Enjoy. I'm happy being fat. I like the way I'm at. I'm happy being stout. And if you don't like it, you can get on out. All right, we're on.
Awesome.
Hi, Ralphie May.
Hi, Ari.
Thanks for breakfast today. Good.
Yeah, it was a great breakfast.
Fucking griddle.
Oh, God damn it, they do it right, don't they?
So much food.
Way too much. Order two eggs and it's easily six.
Yeah. Where do they get those eggs? The ostrich eggs?
Must be. It's incredible.
The pancake is so mad. It's on a big plate and it takes up the whole plate.
Yeah, they've got a snow shovel like Uncle Buck flipping those fucking pancakes.
It was packed too, though. Wednesday,
always packed.
11 a.m.
Always packed. White people love that fucking place.
Yeah. And Aaron Ziering, that's what we were just talking about.
Yeah, Aaron Ziering.
I mentioned Aaron Ziering and you were like, yeah, I saw him here twice.
Yeah, he's always been there.
It's like his favorite spot.
Is his spot, and then I always see at Duke's Keanu Reeves.
Really?
Yeah.
Keanu Reeves comes in?
To Duke's, yeah.
Is he all wheelchaired out still?
Wheelchair.
Oh, Keanu Reeves. Which one was I thinking of?
You're Christopher Reeves.
Oh, yeah. Keanu Reeves, the guy from Matrix.
Yeah, he's dead. Yeah,
Like, oh, he died? That's right, he died.
Yeah, Superman's dead.
Oh, wait, Superman can't die?
Yeah, well, he's dead. People always say, yeah, if you fall back off the horse, yeah, if you fall off the horse, get back up. I was like, yeah, tell that to Christopher Reeves. Go fuck yourself.
Yeah, like, he ain't going to get back up. Like,
hey, he's in no danger.
My legs physically don't work anymore.
Yeah.
Quit your advice.
Yeah, I was talking to somebody the other day. That's what's funny is that people feel licensed to talk to fat people about being fat. Then their excuse is, you know, fat people did that to themselves. But yeah. Nobody gives people shit for having cancer, and they usually do it to themselves.
Smoking, okay, or something,
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, yeah. And nobody gave Christopher Reeve any shit, and he did that to himself.
Like, you didn't have to be on a horse.
No.
Were you delivering mail? Yeah. Why were you on a horse?
And he was jumping shit, too. I mean, you can ride a horse without jumping fucking fences.
Yeah, you're right.
What the fuck? Go around. It's just, like, it's only 6 foot wide. Fucking go around, stupid.
Yeah, every time a celebrity hits himself. Didn't Bono die that way?
He was skiing and hit a fucking tree.
Through
like
the woods.
Kennedy.
Yeah, that's a rich people way to die. Both of those things.
That's a rich people way to die.
Black people hear that and like, what? He was horseback riding? He was skiing?
Yeah, right?
Oh, what was
he on vacation or something? Yeah. No, that was his regular gig.
Just hanging out in Vail, skiing.
Yeah.
Go through the woods.
Going through the woods and bam. Yeah, would the tree just jump out in front of him? I mean, fuck.
Yeah, why was there trees on that course? What was that?
He went off course, obviously. I mean, God damn it. You know, go to the bottom.
Do people not, they always say it's your fault for being fat?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. That's their general thing.
You did it to yourself.
Of course. And I did a little bit, you know. But it still doesn't give them fucking license. You know, go fuck yourself, you know.
You're like, this is not, fuck you.
Yeah, fuck you. Eat a dick.
You did it to yourself. Well, who the fuck are you?
Yeah,
get
exactly.
Out of here.
Yeah. Are you perfect?
Yeah. That's the thing. Nobody's perfect. Everybody's got their thing.
That's what they want, dude. That's what they do. People always assume they're better than others.
Yeah. How much do you weigh? Do you even know?
4 1/4.
425.
Yeah.
You always been that big?
No.
Like, how long has it been like that?
I was bigger. Last Comic Standing and stuff like that, I was way bigger.
Really?
Yeah.
And you've taken it down since then?
Mm-hmm.
It's tough for me to tell the difference between, like, I don't know, let's say 425 and 450.
Oh,
like on the looks of people.
Yeah, I don't tell that much difference either, to be honest with you. You know, I mean, since November, I've lost 60-something pounds. And
that's a shitload.
Yeah, but it's only been 2 pant sizes.
Wow.
I know, it's kind of anticlimactic.
What pant size do you wear?
Now, 54.
54.
Yeah.
You can't. Can you find pants like that, or you got to take?
Yeah. You go to a fat guy store.
Okay, they got
they
regular
call
stuff.
Them big
whatever
and
you're
tall.
Wearing now, it looks like regular Levi's.
These are Calvin Klein's.
Yeah, that's normal.
Yeah,
and they have those at fat guy stores.
Yeah,
they used to have shitty clothes.
Yeah,
I remember going to one because they had big and tall, and I was always tall and yeah. slender. I couldn't find anything.
Right.
And then I filled out like a normal, so I'm okay. But like, but they were always the grossest clothes.
Yeah, they're hideous. Hideous. Horrendous.
Yeah, with horrible stripes and stuff. Trying not to.
Oh my God, with elastic bottoms. Shirts with elastic bottoms.
To push out so they're able to like expand.
Yeah, it's brutal.
Like, this is a muumuu.
Yeah,
told
no
me
guy
a muumuu.
Wears this. No guy wears this shit.
How what happened in November? You want to talk about that stuff? Or
oh,
no?
Yeah. I got sick. I got really bad sick. I had bilateral double pneumonia and pulmonary embolisms. I'd worked 67 days straight.
On the road?
Yeah, on the road. I'd done over 100 and something shows.
67 days means including travel days of just like going.
Well, even travel days I was working. I was doing stand-up on travel days too.
I saw you do a gig. You worked so hard. I saw you on your schedule once. You did Bonnaroo and then something else in another state that night.
Yeah, I did three shows in one day. I did Bonnaroo at 1 a.m. and then 1 p.m. And then I got on a plane and flew to Austin, Texas and did a concert that night at 8 o'clock. And then the next day I was in someplace else. I forget.
Jesus.
I don't know.
So that all weakened your immune system and stuff?
Yeah.
And then you just fell attacked to something?
Yeah. Well, I had gastric bypass, and that doesn't allow me to absorb vitamins, and I didn't know I had a huge vitamin deficiency.
Hold on. Which one's gastric bypass?
The Roux-en-Y gastric bypass. It's the
stapled?
It's kind of like that, yeah. Uh-huh. But they actually bypass a section of the small intestine, and yeah. That's where you absorb vitamins, certain vitamins.
Oh, so you just – your food didn't go – to that place,
right,
where you needed to absorb the vitamins.
Right.
Oh, okay. Whoa, did they not know that when they did the surgery?
I don't think they've done a lot of research on it, to be honest with you. Or they say you can take vitamin supplements and stuff like that, but I didn't know that.
Yeah, you need to take vitamin supplements.
Yeah,
you can't process vitamins, and it's like...
Yeah, I have to. And so I am. I have to take vitamin E, D, and B. Okay, I have to take all those vitamins. Okay, because I wasn't taking them.
Because of the gastric bypass.
Yeah, okay. And those are the ones that hold your immune system up. And so I had run myself down, and after the shows, I went and met everybody and hugged up against people and stuff like that. And, you know, everybody thought it was going to be the fat that killed me, but it was going to be the fucking sniffles.
Yeah, that's amazing.
You know, that's almost killed me, is the fucking sniffles. It wasn't fat at all. It was,
so you just got like HIV. You just got a cold, and that could be the worst thing for
you. Yeah, yeah.
Christ.
Basically, yeah.
So what was this attack? What happened exactly? You were in Tampa, right?
Yeah, I was in Tampa. I was doing a cruise for my buddy Cowhead. He's on the radio in Tampa. And I had went on there with walking pneumonia, and he told me not to come on. Right, he's like, don't. Just
don't come on the cruise?
Don't come on the cruise.
What's walking pneumonia?
It's where you have a lot of congestion in the bottom of your lungs, but it's not full-blown yet. It's not as big. It's not as bad as regular pneumonia. But people die of it, you know. But I had been diagnosed with it, and I was given antibiotics and a an inhaler.
Yeah.
And, you know, I thought I'd be fine. I wasn't fine by any stretch of the imagination.
Did you start thinking like, because I get like this sometimes in terms of like, I've just started eating healthy a little bit. Did you start thinking like, oh, nothing's going to happen to me?
Right.
Like somewhere in your mind, you're like, yeah, I know there's these things out there. But like when I smoke cigarettes, it was like, I believe in lung cancer, but I'm not getting lung. Nobody I know gets lung cancer. You know?
No, I thought that I was getting sick. You know, I mean, I've had a chest cold, and so I had even laid off the weed for like a week and a half before, Jesus. And because I was getting a chest cold. And but man, I tell you, it came like a thunder, man. It was bad. You know, within a day, I couldn't walk without wheezing, and nothing would clear it up, and it wouldn't come up. I couldn't cough it up.
Oh,
and. And then I had to, man, I stayed awake for days on end, just breathing, making sure I could breathe. And it was tough, man. I mean, I was in the cabin, you know, quarantining myself because I didn't want to be patient zero. You know, I didn't want
to
be the guy that, you know.
Spread it to America.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I just saw the whole ship, you know, just being just little red dots.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know,
the outbreak broke out.
Exactly.
That'd be a great horror movie.
Yeah, man. And I just thought I was going to be the person that contaminates everybody, okay, and kills people.
So you went on the cruise?
Yeah. I was on the cruise. I was out at sea. And, you know, I almost got off in Belize, but I'm like, fuck that. Third world country, go fuck yourself.
Yeah, they're not going to.
Yeah, man. Like, we'll take care Honduras, of you. Go fuck yourself. Yeah, Mexico, no.
No,
fuck
definitely
you.
Not Mexico.
Fuck that. Fuck yeah. that. All right. And so I finally, on the way back to Tampa, I went down to, I called 911 on the ship, and I had them come get me and take me to the infirmary. And when I got there,
what, infirmary on the ship?
Yeah, infirmary okay. on the ship. I was very close to death on the ship. I was, my lips were blue, my extremities were gray.
Really?
Yeah, I had, my heart was beating 250 beats per minute. And that's a lot. Wow. That's a lot.
What's
and,
normal? 60?
Yeah. Yeah.
Something like that?
Yeah.
Jesus.
And so your heartbeat. My blood oxygen content level was 48%. That's you're about to die.
Wow.
Yeah. And
what? Jesus.
Yeah. And they put me immediate yeah. oxygen and called the doctors. Yeah. Mask and they had a thing in my nose.
Oh yeah. What do those feel like?
It sucks.
I always saw those. I'm like, those must yeah. be annoying as fuck.
It's annoying as shit.
That go way up into your nose?
Yeah, it dries your nose out too.
So you get boogers constantly?
Oh, god damn it. They're like fucking Triscuits.
Can you pick around Triscuits?
They're like Triscuits in your nose, man.
That's crumbly.
Oh,
can you pick around the things in your nose, or is it like,
no,
can you not
get
in there?
No, you have to take them out once in a while and fucking get those boogers out so you can have the oxygen go in.
But it goes like way into your nostril, right?
It goes up about an inch.
Like that far?
Yeah.
Wow.
And then
that's in there. That's
yeah,
in there.
In there.
And I got a big nose.
Yeah.
That's up to the hard bone.
Yeah. But you have a fucking incredible nose, though.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
It is amazing. Olfactory. It was
somebody asked me, like, did you do a lot of coke? Like, why'd your nose so big? You just hide it away for later?
No shit. No shit.
Like, you got to put some away, man.
You could have done a great amount of coke. Yeah. I mean, that's an incredible nose.
I'll just hide some for tomorrow and
yeah, right?
do the rest now.
I stayed awake for another 2 days. I mean, so far I've been awake for 5 days
straight,
without drugs or anything.
You must have dozed off here. Like, how does it work? How do you stay awake 5 days? Do you get the itchies? Like, how do you do that?
You just do it. I mean, I was working on breathing. I was scared that I wasn't going to be able to breathe, and so I just did it. You know, I don't know how I did it. I did it.
Don't you just pass out? You're lying down?
No.
No.
You can't.
How miserable was that?
Like, it was miserable.
Yeah, not being able to. I know when I get on planes sometimes, where it's like when I have like a 6 a.m. flight, I want to go to sleep at 3.
Right.
And so then I'm like up at like 5, 6.
Oh, it's
and it's
brutal.
Like, 5 days.
5 days, all right. 5 days. And
you hallucinated at all?
A little bit, yeah.
Did you really?
Yeah, I lost track of time and days and stuff like that. I thought it had only been like 2 days, but it had been like 5.
That's how they torture people.
Yeah.
In the old days, they would cover up the windows and not let you know, and then wake you up for breakfast like 4 hours earlier.
Right.
Every 20 hours, they would give you a breakfast, and you just lose track of time.
Yeah.
You just have no clues. 12 no hours, clue. 24, 30.
No clue. And they gave me as many antibiotics as they had on the ship. And they wanted to fly me off of it, but there was a hurricane between the ship in Tampa.
Is that Katrina? Not Katrina.
No.
The one that just hit the East Coast?
It wasn't Irene.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know which one it was.
Okay, but there was a hurricane, so they couldn't do it?
Yeah, they couldn't do it. And so...
Fuck, you had to get off at that point.
Yeah.
You had to go to a hospital.
Yeah, yeah.
You can't have fucking Doc from the Love Boat trying to stitch you up.
Well, the doctor was... she was an ER
doctor. Well, you're already behind.
Oh, I know. she was an ER doctor from Walter Reed.
Yeah.
And she had post-traumatic stress disorder from dealing with guys with post-traumatic stress disorder. And she goes, you know, I came on this ship to bandage like broken arms and band-aids and help people with diabetes medicine. I didn't really come on here to have people die. Don't you die on me. Okay, seriously, I can't take it.
So she was telling you that's a real possibility now.
Yeah.
Like,
And I'm like, I don't plan on dying. She goes, well, you might not have a choice if this thing doesn't abate. Okay, that's a big term, you know, doctor term. Okay, if it doesn't go away, you're gonna have a hard time.
You know, you're raised as a hillbilly when you feel bad about using a two-syllable word.
I know, right? I know. And so when we get to Tampa, she has these four little Filipino guys come on, and they're going to take me off, and they look at me, and they go, oh, fuck that. All right. And so they get Tampa Fire Rescue to come and get me. And,
what do you mean? They're going to pick you up and, like, stretch you up?
Yeah. And Tampa Fire Rescue comes, and they get pumped. Like, they're like, yes, do this. Oh, yeah.
Really?
Right, yeah, yeah.
This is like, the chance to shine.
Yeah, yeah. And they're like, ooh, do this. And they're like, straining. Okay. And Rescue One got me up there, and I'm, like, thinking,
on a helicopter?
No. Okay. They're putting me in an ambulance, taking me off on a gurney off the gangplank. Okay, but it's crazy because
to where? To another boat, or they docked you?
On the dock. Okay, on the dock, and I'm like, these fuckers are going to dump me in the fucking water so they can rescue me again. That's how gung-ho they were, man. I mean, they were ready to go, Jack. And we got into the ambulance, and my friend Dinah, had brought my stuff with me, and she's all googly-eyed for the fireman. All right. Ooh, fireman. All right. And she's flirting with the fireman, and I'm dying.
You're like, I'm trying to die here. Okay, can you please not worry about getting laid?
Yeah, she's trying to get laid. Hilarious. So we go to Tampa, and by the way, the nurse, when I first got there, said, oh, fuck, when she saw my vitals, and the doctor said, oh, fuck, when she saw my vitals.
They really reacted like that?
Yeah, oh, fuck. Oh, fuck. Okay, that was the first word they said to me.
How much did that scare you?
A lot. And then I get to Tampa ER, and the nurse comes in and says, oh, shit, and I start laughing. And she goes, why are you laughing? And I'm like, you're the first one that hasn't said, oh, fuck. All right? You just said, oh, shit, I must be getting better. All right? And it was crazy. I was in ER from 7 a.m. until midnight, and doing tests and stuff like that. And they determined
7 a.m. to midnight.
Yeah, and because they were waiting on a place to open up an ICU for me. And
we can pause this if you need to. By the way.
Oh no.
At any moment.
Oh yeah, let's pause it just for a second.
We're back. The magic of the technology.
I love it.
It was like no time passed at all.
It was incredible.
I should have stopped mentioning this. Every time I pause on one of these things, it's like, okay, we got to pause. Now we're back. And it's like that. I'm like, why even say anything?
I know, right?
Yeah.
I was about to get into ICU. That's why I had to stay there so long, is they're waiting for a place to open up an ICU. And it opens up at midnight, which probably means that's not the lucky room. You know what I mean? It's like it doesn't open up at midnight because everything went great. Like, nobody gets moved at midnight.
Well, yeah. Was somebody just cut off their insurance? It was the last day?
I guess so. Or I don't know. Like,
yep, you're gone.
Either that or they're gone.
Yeah, nobody gets better. If you get better at midnight, like, cool, stay till 9.
Yeah,
and then,
exactly.
Your wife will pick up tomorrow.
Stay out tomorrow. Yeah. Exactly. No, not this one. They opened at 9. I mean, at 10. Midnight, rather. And they go
up
there.
One less spot in the morgue and one more spot in ICU.
And they had started a drip line. The stuff called heparin, which is a blood thinner.
Yeah.
And just on the off chance that I might have blood clots.
Oh, really?
Yeah, just on the off chance.
That was
chance.
A risk?
Yeah, and they gave me antivirals. And
what do blood clots do? Go to your brain and kill you?
They could. They could go to my brain and cause a stroke.
The fear?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's one of them. They could go to, and because I was coughing so much, I was creating blood clots. And what they do is they go down to the veins in my leg, and they get bigger. Because I wasn't moving, and they didn't have a chance to break up.
And they start building.
Yeah, they start building, and then they would break free, and then they would come up into my lungs. That's where they would get stuck.
Oh.
And if I had had a weaker heart, they could have gone into my heart and caused a heart attack. They could have been shot up into my brain and caused a stroke. I mean, it was really fucking close.
It's nothing you can do. It's not like you can be careful about your blood clots.
Right.
So they put you on thinners.
And just on the off chance, and I had antibiotics and antivirals, and I mean, I had everything coming. I had like 7 drugs going into me at the same time, yeah. And I was on oxygen, and my oxygen level was pretty good. It was stabilized at like 94%, and I was doing pretty good. And they get me into ICU, and they have a lift team at Tampa General, and they're going to move me from gurney to the other bed, and yeah. I'm like, no, I'll just walk. All right, and so I just walk.
Because it's in the same like room?
Yeah. And I walk like maybe 15 feet, and I sit down, and like 5 minutes later, I'm sitting there talking to the head of pulmonology, Dr. Katz at Tampa General.
That's the kind of doctor you want. A name like that is exactly
nice
what you want.
Jew, an angry Jew. He was great. He was a really genius doctor. And just then, I felt like I was getting stabbed in my right shoulder.
Whoa.
And it was like going through my shoulder into my lung. And I'm like, ow, ow, ow. And I couldn't hardly make a noise. And
just severe pain?
Yeah, severe pain. And Dr. Katz is like, PE. Okay. And the respiratory techs knew
what's
what to do. I didn't know either at the time. It says for pulmonary embolism. Okay, and he was shouting at it, and the respiratory techs came in and took the mask off of me and put it was like it's called a CPAP, but it looked like a Top Gun mask on me, and it started blowing oxygen into my lungs at 50 miles an hour to hyperinflate my lungs. And
so it wouldn't collapse?
Yeah, well, had already collapsed. They had already started collapsing. And
from walking 15 feet?
Yeah. And
you were so weak.
I was so weak, and my lungs were so filled with infection that it had shut off the bottom part of my lungs, and it was collapsing from the bottom part up, and then the pulmonary embolism was cutting off the blood to be able to get oxygen out of the remaining part that I had, and it was really fucking bad, man. It was really
Jesus.
Bad. They put another thing on my nose, okay, and which I had been off of that
off the nose?
Yeah, off the nose thing all day long, okay?
Okay.
And they put that back in me, and they put the
oxygen.
CPAP on me, yeah, and they hit me that going...
Well, thank God you had the pulmonary embolism in the hospital instead of anywhere else.
I had it in the hospital in front of the head of pulmonology.
So he was right there to react.
Exactly.
He didn't have to come downstairs.
People die of that in the hospital all the time. If I hadn't have been in front of the doctor in ICU, I would have died.
Because he had it as soon as he saw it. You were like,
right.
Ow. And he's like, on it, go.
Yeah.
Wow.
And he increased the heparin. And he goes, Mr. May, you've experienced a severe pulmonary event. I believe a large blood clot has fixed itself into the blood vessels in your lungs.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to recommend, if I could get radiology here now, I would. But in the morning, I'm going to have radiology come in. This is the last ditch effort to save your life, Mr. May. I want them to go in through your neck, and they're going to go down in your vein. They're going to put a filter in the main vein that comes up from your leg, so no more embolisms come into your lungs or heart
or
anything.
It'll siphon off all the blood coming through?
It just filters it.
Okay.
It will catch them all, and then the heparin will break it down there. Okay.
They put a Brita in your fucking throat?
Yeah, exactly. All right, and down in the vein. Okay.
Yeah.
And then they're going to go in through your veins, and they're going to find the blood clots, and if they get them all, you'll live, and if they get them fast enough, you'll live. They're going to blow them up. They use the chemical. They're going to use the chemical and find them and blow them up.
So the blood clots just shatter apart and turn into like liquid blood?
Mm-hmm.
Whoa.
And if they don't get them all fast enough, you'll die on the table from brain bleeding from the chemicals they're using. And and I'm like, really? And he goes, yeah. And Lana was, I was stunned. He hit my shoulder and said, now get some rest. Okay? All right? And Lana was stunned, and she goes, what are his chances? And he goes, 20-30%. And she goes, oh, my God, of dying? And he goes, no, of living.
What?
And so she goes, you mean he's got a 70-80% chance of dying? And he goes, yeah. And
was there another option?
There was no other option. If I didn't, if
the, and he wanted
if
to do it
drugs,
immediately.
Yeah, if the drugs hadn't worked,
yeah.
Okay, if the antibiotics hadn't worked to break up the congestion, if I hadn't worked hard to breathe, and the blood thinners hadn't worked to work on the clot, they were going to go in and open me up.
God.
And so the next morning they come in, and I'm given 6 hours. This is 1 a.m. and they're going to come in at 7 a.m.
Gee, so hold on. There's a 20% chance of you living. 30% chance of you living.
Right.
Luckily, your wife is there. The kids there too?
No, the babies were at my in-laws in Sarasota, just south of
and so
Tampa.
6 hours from right now, they told you, like, we got to do this.
Right.
So 6 hours from right now, you might be dead in seven.
Yeah. Yeah, and they told me that since I had no lung capacity, they couldn't knock me out, that I would be awake when this happened, and it would be the most excruciating pain I'd ever experienced. They would have to strap me
down. How do they keep you still?
They were going to strap me down.
Like by your head?
Head, shoulders, body, everything.
Because they're going in through your neck.
Yeah.
And you could feel it?
Yeah.
And they couldn't give you the local anesthetic?
No.
Because you're so weak.
So weak.
That you couldn't handle it. Because some people die from that.
Yeah.
Like Puff Daddy's mom, was that who it was? Kanye West's mom?
Kanye West's mom.
Yeah, died from that sort of thing, right? Too much of it? Jesus. So then did you have to call Lana in and say, can I, goodbye?
We just held hands because I couldn't talk. I was working on breathing.
Yeah.
And when they put that machine on me, I was really working on breathing. I was hacking up. Oh my God, the stuff that came out of my lungs was unbearable. It was incredibly disgusting.
And now we're coming up browns and what?
Oh my God, it would look like peanut butter. It looked like peanut butter, and it was that consistent.
Oh.
It's the stuff that it glued my lungs together.
Oh.
And it was just like peanut butter. It was
thank God. I mean, too bad you weren't stronger. You would have taken cell phone pictures.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, look at this. This is disgusting. Look at this thing. Okay. But, I mean, the stuff, it was incredible. And even they were like, oh, my God, I can't believe you brought this up. Holy shit. Jesus.
It looked like peanut butter?
Yeah. And they were like, let's take a sample of this. Let's get a sample of this to the lab. All right. And that's where they came back with... Gram rod positive for pneumonia, pneumococcal. It's the bacteria that causes pneumonia, or it's viral pneumonia sets in first, and then in the infection, bacterial pneumonia sets in.
Jesus! So then you had bacterial pneumonia at this
point? Yeah, I had both.
Fuck. So, what are you thinking at this point?
I'm thinking I'm going to die. And so I write a letter to April on what it means to be a strong woman. And I write a letter to August, what it means to be a strong man.
Have you thought of any of this before you started doing it, like the writing wise?
No.
You just had to I got to do something.
Yeah.
I can't just leave my kids.
Exactly.
With no memory of their father.
Exactly. And I wrote a letter to Lana apologizing for not taking care of the vessel her husband rides in.
Yeah.
And then I wrote out a long list of I love yous and I thank yous. And I wrote thank yous to all my friends, and you're on the list.
Thanks.
And,
really?
That's nice. Yeah. And
I'm not going to pretend like I wasn't thinking about it as soon as you said it's all my friends. I was like, I don't know if I was on that list.
Yeah. And I made my peace, man. I made my peace.
And so what did you – first of all, what did you write to if you don't mind, to August and April?
Oh, man. I told August about what it means to be a strong man, you know. Don't hurt women. Don't bang as many as you can. You know. You know. Talk pussy. Talk to him. You know. Everything I could think about. You know. How to deal with them. You know. None of them are ever gonna. Women hate silence. You know.
Stuff like that. You've learned that.
Yeah,
you all go through.
Yeah.
That's what I tell those 14-year-olds that you ever do the teen tours at the Improv.
Yeah.
I love them. I love them.
Yeah.
Because I always tell them, I'm not going to be clean, and in fact, I'm going to get extra dirty.
Yeah, right.
Because these kids don't give a fuck.
Yeah, right, exactly.
But I told them, so at some point I realized, there was something 14, 15-year-olds, and I was like, listen, these girls, some of them are going to break your heart.
Yeah.
I'm just telling you now, it's okay to feel this pain.
Yeah, right.
You can just tell
it's
people,
okay.
Oh, I'm really hurt right now, she dumped me. Because you're not going to want to, but I'm just remember my words. That's all I can leave you with.
Exactly. Exactly. And so, I wrote letters to April, you know, don't take shit from anybody. Don't take shit from a man. You know, don't be mean when you don't have to be, you know.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. You don't want her to grow up to be a bitch.
Exactly. No need to be a bitch. It's unbecoming.
And so then what do you think about, the afterlife at this point? Are you, like, having any questions about it, or you're just...
I don't think there is an afterlife, man.
Okay.
You know, I think that you just, the light goes out.
I feel that way, too.
And,
but so I'm wondering how I'd feel.
I was really content with that.
I'm wondering how I'd feel 6 hours before I'm probably going to die.
Yeah.
You know, well, they always say there's no atheist in a foxhole. Like, that's a foxhole for you.
Yeah. Well, I wasn't praying to God.
You were not?
No, I wasn't. I was, you know, they say at the end of your life, you know, your life flashes in front of your eyes, and it does. But it wasn't what you think would be the highlights. It wasn't any career shit. It wasn't, like, the stuff I put on value on in my life.
Well, like, what things were they?
It was the regrets. It wasn't even, like, the best stuff. It wasn't, like, my marriage. It wasn't the birth of my children.
It was, like, missing Valentine's Day that one time.
It was even bigger than that. It was, like, missing the sonogram of my daughter. You know, Lana had to go to the sonogram by herself.
Yeah.
Because I was making people laugh in Cleveland, or watching the video of my son's first steps because I was making people laugh in Miami. That's the shit that came to me.
Okay. Yeah, you're going over it a lot, huh?
Yeah, man. And you know, it fucked me up. That really fucked me up. And I think I have, according to the doctors, I have a little post-traumatic stress disorder from it.
From that?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
From almost dying.
What does that, like, really mean? What does post-traumatic stress do to you?
I have nightmares about it. I have
really, like, it stays with you.
Stress and crying fits and stuff like that. You know, the drugs have helped and the counseling's helped and stuff like that. And it's also helped that I've worked a lot with vets and stuff like that who've experienced it, you know, overseas and stuff like that.
That's a good thing. At least you know going in, because I'm sure there's a lot of it. Like, what's wrong with me?
Right.
So at least you can take that away.
And then I started realizing these are the same. I'm saying the same stuff that guys I visited in Walter Reed and Bethesda and San Antonio and all these VA hospitals.
Yeah.
They say the same thing as well.
So you could see, like, so it's similar. Like,
okay. Exactly. Yeah. I see what's going on here, and in doing so, I was able to position myself and realize that. Maybe, you know, because I was instantly left with nothing, you know. I mean, I didn't have, like, I already don't drink, okay. I don't like alcohol much, all right. But I didn't have weed, you know, and that had been covering up shit for me for, like, 25 years.
Wait, okay, so how long are you in the hospital for at this point?
I was in the hospital for 9 days. I was in ICU for 7.
Okay, and you were smoking weed up until the point you got...
About a week and a half before.
Okay, so I've done it before. I've taken tolerance break.
Mm-hmm.
There's a little bit of, like, fidgetiness to not having any kind of crazy dreams and stuff. Were you having any symptoms? You were already trying to, like, quit it?
Well, I wasn't trying to quit it. I was getting a cold, and so I stopped.
But they told you, like, you can't have this anymore? What did they?
Your lungs are damaged because of the pulmonary embolisms. They killed off parts of your lung tissue.
Okay.
You know, lung tissue is really thin. I mean, it's really, really thin, and tobacco smoke is way worse than marijuana smoke. But the amount of smoke I was putting in me, I mean, you smoked with me. I mean,
you're crazy.
I was crazy. You know, I mean, I was smoking 4 ounces a week.
I went over one day. We were in San Francisco. Me and Rogan, and he went back to the hotel room. But you were at Cobb's.
Yeah.
So I was like, fuck it. I'll see what Ralphie and Billy Wayne are doing. Was Billy Wayne there?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I went over there, and you were just in the green room and just. Here you go, try this. You're like, okay. Yeah. And you're like, whoa, I'm high. You're like, okay, now this is going to give you a lighter feel. Okay, thanks, great. And you pack it up again. You're like, now this one's sort of a moment feel. It's a big, go down easy and tastes like fruit. You're like, okay, gee, we're high, man. Yeah. And you just kept smoking.
I know, man.
What'd you do? You woke up in the morning. What'd you tell me? You woke up in the morning and did what?
I had a triple diffuser, 24-inch gravity bong, okay? And I had a special blow.
Wednesday mornings.
Yeah,
this isn't like a special occasion.
No. This is every morning.
Yeah.
And I'd wake up and I'd pack the bowl with about an eighth of weed and 3 or 4 grams of hash.
Whoa!
And that was what I started off with.
Jesus.
Yeah, yeah. And I'd do that and
first of all,
double espresso, latte macchiato. from my gay coffee machine I got.
And you just sit out on the porch?
On the porch. I never smoked in the house.
Read the paper. Oh, really?
Yeah, never smoked in the house.
Why not? You don't want the smell?
Nah, I believe in Jesus. You know? Nah, I'm just messing with you. I don't believe in Jesus.
That'd be great. I believe in God. There's no afterlife. But, I mean, Jesus is real.
Yeah, Jesus
is
real.
That's the one part that's not real. Come on.
An
eighth in the morning. At some point, somebody, one of my friends told me that he was smoking an eighth a day. And he knew he had to stop because he was like way too much.
Yeah.
You were doing it in the morning.
In the morning.
With your morning paper kind of thing?
Yeah. Yeah.
Fuck, Ralphie.
Yeah, and that was, and then throughout the day, then like breath strips and kickers on that, and that was just the getting going. Okay, that was just how you doing
all the time. Yeah,
I was stoned 24 hours a day.
They always talked about your barbecues, and they're like he'll just have bowls of pot and mushrooms sometimes.
Yeah,
just out, just like it's party, whatever.
Yeah,
it's like
it was
ice cube.
It's a party, and so I would have at my parties, I'd have 5-6 ounces of weed and 4 or 5 bongs and big old bowl of joints and stuff. People could just smoke
bowl
weed.
Of joints. That's bowl great. So joints. You just pick it up and be like, hey, you want to go out here?
Here you go. And people could take some weed to go. I don't care.
And I want people to keep in mind, this wasn't a pot party. This was a barbecue.
Yeah,
it's a barbecue. The pot was incidental.
Right. Right. But I also had tons of beer and stuff like that too, and drinks, cocktails. But you just want everybody to be comfortable,
Yeah,
And so I wanted to be comfortable and work up an appetite and stuff like that. And so we'd feed 80 people, and most of them are comics. And so
your barbecues are great.
They're terrific, Make my own sauce,
Sometimes I get too big for me and I get my social anxiety. I know.
I see you freak out a little bit.
Yeah.
But sorry about that.
No, that's all right. It's like something I get like close. I can't handle it.
I know.
People are like, why don't you come over? I always have to make an excuse.
Yeah, right.
And the reality is, I don't know. I'm weird. That's why.
Yeah, exactly. At least
you're
honest.
Five people there I know. I'm like, cool. See you there. If you tell me there's six, I don't know one. I'm like, I'm out.
Yeah,
I'm
right. Done. Exactly.
Comics are so fucked up.
Can't do it.
So okay. So back to this. Okay. So Jesus. So you're saying goodbye.
Yeah.
Writing all this stuff.
Yeah.
And then you go through the surgery and you're awake for it.
I didn't have to go through it. The radiology came in the morning and they every time I would log I would cough up something, the respiratory techs would log it and they would measure how much stuff I was bringing up.
Yeah.
And I brought up I think it was 20 I want to say 228 grams of sputum.
What
they measured? Okay, yeah,
just the mucusy shit.
Mucusy shit, like 6-7 ounces.
Whoa!
Yeah, disgusting. Okay, like 10 ounces. 10 ounces of shit.
That's like, if people don't know,
that's like 2 cups.
Yeah, 2 full cups.
Yeah, of shit that was in my lungs.
Like a brick.
I brought it up. Yeah, and my lungs were expanding. And so they were taking x-rays of it, and they said that I had they showed me an x-ray before and like within 12 hours.
Yeah.
And it looked like 2 separate sets of lungs.
So like you were repairing it, your body was repairing itself.
Yeah. The drugs were working.
Okay.
The drugs were working, and they go, I think that since your lung capacity's gotten better and your oxygen content's higher now, we don't have to do that.
But what would have happened if radiology was there at night and they could have gone immediately
in.
And then you got the 20 or 30% chance?
Yeah.
Fuck.
Yeah.
So you probably got pretty lucky.
Yeah, I got lucky
at midnight.
A lot. You know, a lot of people say it's better to be lucky than good. Yeah.
Wait, Jesus. Did you think everybody goes through this and they get into a bad car accident but survive? When they're like, well, thank God I was lucky. Did you think like I was lucky or I was super unlucky for the whole thing happening?
No, I always thought I was super lucky.
Yeah, to get out of it.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you heard about the possible ending.
Right, right. And you know, I mean, I knew the facts that, my friend Bernie Mac, he died of pneumonia and pulmonary embolisms. And while I was in the hospital, Heavy D died of pulmonary embolisms and pneumonia. And it was just like, it's... it's very, it happens a lot. A lot of people die.
Of that?
Of that, yeah.
Wow, Bernie Mac died of that?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. He was sick for a while, right?
He was in the hospital.
My friend took him in his death pool.
Wow, really?
Yeah, because Diaz told me. He was like, I heard Bernie Mac's not doing well. He's just sickly looking. That's what everybody's saying. I told it to my friend on like December 20th. He's like, oh, really? And he fucking grabbed him in his death pool. And he said he was like the only guy in his pool of like 1,000 people to get it.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, you should have taken yourself at some point.
Exactly, ever in one. Exactly. It's so funny because Doug Stanhope's had me in his death pool for 10 years. And I've had him in mine for 10 years, too. So neither one of us has gotten
I'm in one with Doug right now. And the rule is Doug is the only one allowed to take Doug Stanhope.
Exactly. Exactly. Only one who can get his points is Doug Stanhope. Yeah. So funny.
Jesus. So then they said, okay, no surgery.
Yeah, no surgery.
But
no
you're
surgery.
Fucked forever?
Well, I'm on blood thinners forever.
Okay.
And so I have to test my blood once a week to make sure my INR, it's the amount that my blood is thin.
Yeah.
And I have to make sure that it's between 2 and 3. And I tested it last night. It was 2.6. It was perfect. Perfect.
You test it yourself?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
I have a home testing kit now.
You shoot yourself?
I give myself punch my finger.
Okay.
And it does it right there.
Has it started to callus up the finger?
No. I switch them. But I have to give myself vitamin shots, and so I do that in my arms and stuff like that. I do that every 2 weeks.
And this is also gonna be forever?
Yeah.
For just to make sure.
Yeah. And now, I take vitamins. I found out that one of the reasons that I was fat was that I have low testosterone.
Uh-huh.
And so I'm on testosterone replacement. I was taking it intramuscular, shooting it into my big muscle in my leg.
Yeah.
But that was causing a spike the first week, and then it would wane off the next week. And so
the first week it was like
Gorilla Juice. You know, I was wanting to fuck my wife like 5 times a day, and then I was getting real fighty, like I wanted to fight a lot.
Aggressive. Yeah.
And the next week it'd be depression and stuff like that.
Oh, that's no good.
No good. No good. So now I'm using the underarm type.
This the cream?
It's like a gel, and it goes on like a deodorant.
The cream and the clear. I remember when Barry Bonds, all those people were talking about that in Sheffield. Mm-hmm. They were talking about, no, I rub stuff under my skin, but it's not steroids. But that's what it is. That's how it goes in now, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
That seems way better than shooting it.
Yeah. Way better.
It's just deodorant. You just roll it on.
Right.
Before your deodorant or right after?
You have to do it after. Okay. I mean, before rather.
So it doesn't cover it up.
Yeah, and let it dry. And then you apply your deodorant.
Man. And so you ever be able to smoke pot again?
Not for a long, long time. Not until I lose weight, because marijuana has the highest amounts of estrogen of any plant, and so by smoking it, I was adding estrogen to my body.
So it's already like low amount of testosterone,
right? And so all that was doing was making myself adding more estrogen to it, lowering my metabolism, making the fat stay on
me. Lowering your metabolism?
Yeah.
You don't
lowering metabolism, and it was making the fat stay on me. And so by upping it all and dropping the weed, it's just, I mean, burning off.
How do you feel? Do you feel different? Is it any withdrawal symptoms, or is it covered up by the fact that you're going through everything else too?
Not really withdrawal. I just miss all the positive stuff that marijuana did for me.
Like,
you know?
People don't know about these, but it is.
The anti-anxiety. You know, I'm having to take Xanax now, whereas I never took it before.
Yeah. Because pot covered up that anxiety.
Yeah.
Yeah, really, it's weird how it does sort of, like, we joke about it, but it's like, it does have medical, like, things. Like, it can help you.
Yeah, and I have a lot of lower back pain, and now I have to take pain medicine.
Yeah.
I'm given opiates for breakthrough pain.
Because the pot will cover the pain, too.
Right. And but I have nerve pain, so I'm on non-narcotic stuff called Lyrica, and I have muscle spasms, so I'm on a non-narcotic called Scalaxin. Okay.
Oh yeah, it's Scalaxin.
And that way, I'm not getting addicted to shit. You know, I don't want to take stuff.
What's the difference between narcotic and non-narcotic? It's just the addiction.
The addiction level. you know, whether it makes you addicted or not addicted.
Yeah, I always get worried about sleeping pills. If I have to take a sleeping pill.
Yeah.
If I take them two nights in a row, then it's like, I'm not taking these for another week. I don't want to, like, breath fart.
Right, right. We've had friends die of sleeping pills.
Really?
Yeah. Ugh. Yeah. And
just take too many?
Too many with a glass of too wine.
Wrong. Really?
Yeah.
And then just don't wake up?
They don't wake up.
Fuck.
Yeah. And so, you know, it's I have trouble sleeping. My back spasms. You know, yeah. People ask me on Twitter, what are you doing up? And it's like, I'm up because my back hurts.
Yeah, good question. I don't want to be up.
Yeah, exactly. I don't want to be up right now. I want to sleep.
And then you have to take these other things to cover it up, but you can't really.
Mm-hmm. And it doesn't work as good as weed did. Weed worked fabulous.
And it makes you feel so good.
So good.
Whenever everything I'm nervous or anxious too, if I'm talking to a girl I like or whatever, like, let's just smoke one bowl.
Right.
And then we can just relax here.
Exactly.
Enjoy each other's company.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So much better.
So, hold on, let me ask you a question. You had the gastric bypass.
Yes.
But that didn't make you, like, it didn't make you thin. Isn't that supposed to be?
It didn't make me thin, but I did lose, like, 340 pounds.
What?
Yeah, I was nearly 800 pounds, Ari.
What?
Yeah.
800 pounds?
Yeah. Look at me on
Last Comic?
Yeah.
You were 800 pounds?
Yeah.
Did you have problems getting insurance for things? Like, in terms of, like, shoots? I remember at the end, Chris Farley had trouble getting work because they were like, we can't insure him.
Chris Farley had drug problems.
Oh, yeah.
No, they didn't have...
800 pounds?
Yeah. Because I was really mobile, you know? I was really, really mobile, so it was no big deal.
I remember you pulled into the car, into a lot at the store once with Diaz, and you were driving an SUV.
Yeah.
And you got the two of you, and there was Diaz at his fattest. You guys just filled up the front seat. Like, there was no middle where you guys weren't connected.
No, there was no where I stopped and he
began. Yeah.
But it was me. I was mostly in his
chair. Mostly you. It was probably 2/3 you and 1/3 him.
Yeah.
800 pounds.
Yeah, there was 1,200 pounds of me in there. I mean, there was 1,200 pounds in there total.
Of you guys.
Yeah. Yeah.
Another 600 for the car.
Yeah. I mean, it's crazy, you know what I mean?
So how did you let it get there? Like, at what point, whenever they talk about somebody getting cut out of their house, they're like, how do you let it get that much? Like, how do you let it get from 275 to 800?
You know, you don't know. You don't, you honestly, you just simply don't.
It's just lose track sort of situation?
Yeah. And you just don't, you don't get it.
What do you mean?
You don't know how big you are. You don't know what you're doing. You don't know.
I had this theory that everybody, no matter what's happening in your life, after a little while, you just start thinking that's just it. That's just how it is. Somewhere in the back of your brain. You don't think it out, but just sort of accepting things as, like, real. You know?
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah, like when I was religious, it was like, no, I don't know. I'm religious. Why? I don't know, because I am.
Right, exactly.
And it's like, I don't know, I'm big, whatever. And then you were bigger, and you're like, whatever. It's not like you gained 800 pounds in one day. Then you would notice he's still looking at that.
There's picture. A great example.
Let's see.
Okay, this is me in Iraq in 2003, and that was like 650. And this is
which one? In the stripe?
Yeah.
Jesus.
Right, see, and then there's a side view of me recently.
Yeah, not you're like half the size.
Half the size.
That is what it is. 425 to 800. Jesus.
Yeah.
That is so big.
Yeah.
God. Oh, I guess that, yeah. I mean, it's like you don't lose it all at once, so you don't notice, but that's a fuckload of weight. And how long ago was that?
5 years ago, six years ago.
So you've lost 400 pounds.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
nobody
amazing,
gives
Ralphie.
Me any credit.
I know.
Nobody gives me any credit. It's okay. I don't do it for credit, though.
You just sometimes you realize, like, man, you're looking big today. And sometimes you're like, yeah, you're just regular fat.
Yeah, right. Exactly. All right.
Oh, man. Exactly. And nobody loses 400 pounds.
I know.
Fuck.
I was fat as hell, man.
Did you ever, so you've always been like, since like high school, is that what you told me once?
Yeah. I started gaining weight in high school. And, you know, from there, it just continued and continued and continued. And, you know, what are you going to do? You know, I'm trying to make it better.
Did you ever have any chubby chasers?
Tons.
Like girls would just have a thing about fat guys?
Yeah. Yeah. and I had girls that just wanted to try it once.
I think that's what little Brad said.
Yeah, he gets tons of midget chasers.
Yeah, so they just want to, like, let me add that to the list. And he's like, yeah, by all means,
yeah,
I'm here to help you.
Yeah, exactly. That's fucked. Yeah, I was definitely not opposed to it. I mean, some guys are. Some guys take offense to that.
Really? Why? Yeah. It's just like being into blondes.
I know, man.
It's like, what, are you going to be upset that
who
I'm into
gives
blondes?
A shit? Yeah. This is awesome. Yeah, yeah, man. Hey,
Eddie Griffin gave me that advice once after I booked like my first or second commercial, uh-huh, and I noticed that the people that were just ignoring me were now being like nice.
Yeah.
And it wasn't malicious. I realized now it was just like they didn't really know me that well.
Right.
And now they noticed, whatever. But I was like, I don't want to say hi to them. And Eddie Griffin's like, no, you fuck those girls. That's how you get back at them.
Exactly.
You have sex with them.
Yeah, he's right.
Yeah.
He's right.
No revenge.
You fuck them.
How do you, wait, at 800 pounds, how do you have sex?
I put my penis in there and rub it around.
What do you mean?
I put my dick in her vagina and rub it around.
But like, how does she get toward, like, close enough?
You just fucking,
literally,
you know, like, most of that shit moves out of the way.
Okay.
Most of that shit moves out of the way.
You lie on your back? You're on top.
Some, you know.
Okay, the stomach. But, it's not a solid ball. It's right, like you can move it up or
right,
down.
Yeah. Right. And you move it out of the way. And but I tell you, with most girls, I'm on top.
You're on top.
Mm-hmm.
And but obviously, post it up so you don't like crush them.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. I don't crush them. I don't crush.
Do you ever do it for a second so they can feel?
No, never. Like, I never, could do never. It. No. I'm strong though. You know, I can hold myself up.
Your muscles are probably massive too.
Yeah, I'm really strong.
Because
really
even
strong.
Like you're carrying around it, and not now, but 800 right. pounds. Like those are big muscles.
Yeah, to be able to move and be mobile.
Yeah.
Yeah. To even stand. I mean, a lot of people are like, how could you even stand? And I'm like, I don't know. I just do it.
Yeah, I couldn't. If you added 600 pounds to me, there's no way I'm going to be able to stand
exactly.
up.
Exactly.
But if you have time to get used to it.
A lot of people say that.
It was like that episode of Buck Rogers where some guy from the other planet said, on my planet, I'm considered a weakling, but then he would tear through like metal doors.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I forgot about that
episode of Buck Rogers. Hilarious.
Do your parents, what do they feel about it? I just want to ask you all about being, because I don't know anybody. You're the biggest guy I know.
Okay. My mom is a little bit overweight.
Okay.
My father never was. My father passed away. He had melanoma cancer.
Okay.
He had worked outside a lot of his life. He liked it. He liked working outside on the weekends. He had a day job during the week, but during the weekends,
mowing the lawn and stuff, and gardening.
Mowing the lawn, gardening. Loved the garden.
My dad's into that.
Yeah, big garden.
I sort of get it now. I'm starting to get it now. It's like, oh, quiet time.
Yeah.
In the sun.
Yeah. And like to work in the dirt and grow something for it. You know, I do the same thing. We have a garden. We have a garden in Nashville. Yeah. And it's terrific. You know, we just, I don't know, man. But, you know, my father always wanted me to, here's my tomato plants and here's my garden.
Where's that here? Oh, Nashville.
Nashville. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You got to get those things that go up like that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's little now, but
when
I've
my dad was gone, I did
I've
those
got,
for a little while.
I've got tomatoes, jalapenos, sweet bell peppers,
dude,
strawberries.
Really?
Yeah.
Those grow like vine, right?
Yeah.
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 Would you pick a fresh jalapeno from the vine and eat them? It's just
incredible.
It's so good.
It's incredible, man. It's incredible. I mean, you just eat that, and the babies will eat the tomatoes like apples. Just
pop them in.
Pop them in. But we have plum trees and peach trees and apple trees.
Really?
Yeah.
And so you
Nashville.
Go pick and eat stuff off there. It's so juicy and shit.
Yeah.
And you
it's pick so up- juicy. It's so good. And
it's still
we'll
alive.
Have, yeah, it's still alive. It's still fresh. It's not. You know, most fruits picked not ripe yet. It doesn't ripen on the tree.
And they ripen it later.
Yeah,
it's probably way better when it ripens on the tree.
Way better. Way sweeter. Just so much richer. And, oh my God. You know, we make jam. We do all the canning and stuff like that.
Really?
We love it. Yeah, it's awesome.
That's such a Swiss family, like, Robinson.
Yeah, man.
Kind of thing, like,
but
so,
I tell
like,
you,
together,
it's incredible,
dude.
Though. It's so much fun.
Yeah.
And the babies get to eat their jam that they made.
I bet they'll
like
get
that.
Into it when they hit, like, 8, 9, 10. They'll
it's
probably
incredible.
Want to garden with you.
Yeah. And then when they're 13, they'll spit in my face.
My nephew Benji does that.
Yeah.
Where he has his own plants in my dad's garden.
Yeah.
Or Benji's plants, you know. Yeah, it's fun watching something grow.
Exactly.
That's cool. Do you have any room here?
Well, we're going to we're going to finish out the basement this year, and we're going to add another room, and we're going to put in a staircase in the corner of the living room right here. And go down, down to the next room, and then out there we're going to do a big deck off the
Oh yeah, you're going to like flatten it out, right?
I forgot about that. And we're going to plant lemon trees and orange trees.
Really, man, orange trees are so that's perfect.
First of all,
it just looks cool.
And, you know, plant blood oranges and navel oranges and stuff like that. It'll be awesome. I want to put honey beehives.
Really?
In.
No, we can have bees everywhere.
I don't mind.
What?
I like bees.
Really?
Love them. Love them. I mean, without them, we don't have fresh fruits and
vegetables. I know, but you don't need them around you.
I still think we do.
Really? You're afraid of being stung?
No.
Who cares? They don't normally sting people.
Fuck them. If they're stinging you, you did something wrong.
No, I got stung when I was six. I didn't do shit wrong. I was playing with my rabbit.
You fucked up. You fucked up.
You were doing something Jewy. You know what you were doing.
What were you doing? Were you charging that bee money? What were you doing?
I charged on my 18% interest instead of 10. I got greedy.
What was the big?
Bee stung me. So did your dad and mom ever try to like tell you to like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
You must have gotten intervention like a bunch of times, right?
Just once or twice.
And people were like, you got to stop for your own health?
Yeah.
Because that's the main thing, like, I see.
And you know, that's what's weird, Ari, is that, you know, the doctors in the hospital were concerned about my weight, you know.
Yeah.
They were like, oh, my God, you know, you're really fat, you know. And so they did like the sonogram of my heart, you know, where they echocardiogram, where they take pictures of my heart.
Okay.
And they go, you don't have an enlarged heart and you don't have a fatty heart.
That's what fatty hearts are. They're just bigger because. Okay.
And that's strange. And then they did one of my liver they scanned it. And they go, you don't have a fatty liver either. You're a very strange fat person. You don't carry fat in your internal organs.
And most people do.
And my cholesterol is 105. My blood pressure average is like 122 over 64.
Really?
Yeah. I'm in no danger of diabetes.
Really? How are you not?
I don't have it. I don't have high blood sugar. I am... six is diabetes, blood sugar. Mine was 1.4.
Just way below.
Way below.
Wow.
And they're like, you're a very strange fat person.
Strange. Does news like that keep you saying, eh, fuck it, let's just stay?
No, it makes me very, I mean, it's like, you know, almost that I would be better off if they knew what was going on with me. And so I'm under a doctor's care that he teaches at Cornell. His name is Dr. Louis Aroney, in New York. And I go see him every 2 months, and he is a leading scientist in research in obesity. And he's got me on two drugs now that have me not eating very much.
Really?
Yeah. They don't make me eat much. I eat maybe twice a day.
You, I try not to look at you. I don't want to, like, bother people, you know? No. But, like, you ate less at breakfast. Like, you left a bunch of food.
A bunch.
I don't want to be like I'm taking notes on you or anything, but, like, I just noticed it.
No.
So it's curbed your appetite?
Yeah, a lot.
Okay.
A lot. But I mean, the griddle's not a good example. I mean, everybody has to leave food.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody should have to leave food at the griddle. I mean,
yeah, but you could have pounded all that. You could have easily pounded all that. In the old days, you would have.
Maybe, yeah, probably. Probably, especially when I was broke.
Yeah.
You know, I would have ate it.
You lost a bunch of bacon. Yeah, that's what I did too. When I was like broke, it was like, you can't leave food. I don't know what I'm going to eat again.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. I left bacon, which is that, against the fat code.
You left bacon.
I know. Especially that thick cut, good ass bacon from the griddle.
Bacon,
I know.
You're like, I'll make room.
I know. Hold on. Let me shove some more bacon in here in my fat hole.
Smoke a cigarette and make some air. So it's curbing your appetite. So wait.
Yeah.
What? All right.
And they've got me on drugs to speed up my metabolism. And
really?
And yeah, I'm on thyroid replacement and testosterone replacement. And
that'll speed it up too.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm getting normal. I'm getting normal. And, you know, I have to take, I'm on Cymbalta for pain. It's a twofer. It's a, nice. It's a antidepressant because, you know, I'm dealing with shit from being a child. I'm dealing with shit from, you mm-hmm. know, like being in a big car wreck and having dreams shattered and my body shattered. And I'm dealing with that. I'm dealing with, you know, just life in general, you know.
Yeah. That's a story you told on my storyteller show about that guy in the car wreck. It was really good. It was really good.
I enjoyed that show a lot. I think that show was immense. I think we should take it to Comedy Central and try to pitch it, okay, as a TV show.
Yeah. Talk to Jordy.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Yeah, I'm in. I think we should take it over there and sell it to him. Because I think it's a terrific idea for a show. I've never seen comedians come together like that show does.
Yeah, it's weird. It's like not everybody like jumps on it. Some people just like sort of do jokes, like full material.
Yeah.
Some people do stories they already have, which is also fine. But like some people really, you, Diaz, Bert Kreischer, like they fucking go for it.
Right.
You know, and like, let me explore something. And then the story, it was like cool. It was like, it got like, it was funny. And then like, it got like, almost like unintentionally sad heavy for a second. Yeah, heavy. But not like, look at me, I'm about to be emotional.
Right.
You know, that's the way people can go sometimes, which is like, stop.
Yeah. It doesn't have to be like that.
Yeah. You talked about getting in that car wreck and not being able to.
Yeah. And you know, it's real stuff, you know. It touches on, you know, on real things, you know. And hits a place that for me, you know, it comes full circle. And then, you know, and then this last stuff, I mean, I had almost a full episode at I had a sleep study done.
Yeah.
And they found out that I don't have sleep apnea, which they were surprised. I had sleep
apnea. That's a lot of fat guys have sleep apnea, right?
Yeah. And I'm anemic, but I don't have sleep apnea. And they were like, why are you anemic? And I'm like, I don't know.
Was anemic not enough iron in your blood?
Yeah, exactly.
You're like, I don't know. I don't eat iron. I don't know. What foods have iron in it?
Exactly. And so I have to take iron supplements too, which is helping me get
How many energy. Pills a day are you taking?
16, 17.
What?
Yeah.
You ever filled up on pills?
Man,
have you ever used it as like a snack?
Lana,
like,
I told my wife that I could pour fucking milk on them and have the cereal.
You should do that
morning.
One day.
Oh my god, it's ridiculous.
16 or 17.
Yeah.
Fuck.
It's incredible amount of pills.
Okay. And this doctor is getting you this stuff, the metabolism. Mm-hmm. Okay, I have so many questions. Are you afraid at all about if you lose a bunch of weight? Let's say you get down to 250.
That'd be great.
Are you afraid at all about like how this is gonna affect my comedy?
Not at all.
Really?
Not at all. Most of my jokes don't have anything to do with me being fat.
No, I know. But here's how I feel sometimes. People are like, oh, how long you get that beard grow? And I'm like, well, I can't shave it before I take my CD because as soon as I shave it, I'll feel like, oh, do any of my jokes work now that my beard's gone? Even though I've only had it for 2 months. You know, I get so like.
I've That's got only 2 months of growth.
Two to five.
Oh
I don't
God,
know. Something
you must
like
shave
that.
3 times a day if you're going bare.
It's so long right
oh
now.
God,
I love
know.
It.
It's like your junior wizard school. I love it, baby. It's incredible.
People are like, all right, I didn't think you could
How
look any Jewier.
How long were you on the island?
I figured if you just shave the top part, the upper cheek, it looks a lot like more well-kept.
Yeah. You got to keep that in check.
Yeah.
You got to keep that in check.
Otherwise, it grows
you
up to your eyeball.
You get chicks with that?
Some of them are into it, I guess.
Really?
You know what I get chicks with? The not caring.
Yeah.
That's what it is. They're like, I don't know. I don't like it. Who fucking cares? Chicks just like you being confident about yourself.
Yeah.
I was in high school and college.
I
was worried about
it. I would think that no girl goes,
gross,
wow.
Right?
No, not gross. That he will not be able to eat my pussy. My pussy will be fucking raw if he's eating my vagina.
Yeah.
Have you ever had a chick?
Here's what they say sometimes, actually. Yes. Raw? When it's only
if
like.
If I get stubble, my wife makes me
stubble.
Shave.
Stubble's worse. Stubble hurts.
Oh, okay.
Remember Basic Instinct when he used to have to go down on her?
I don't remember.
Well, he went down on her, on Sharon Stone, Kirk Douglas, whoever that was, and he had all this stubble, and she had like pasties on or whatever, something like hiding it, but she was like, I had rug burn all over that because of that stubble, but when it gets longer, it gets softer.
Oh, okay.
So it's not as bad. And sometimes they actually, I've heard this by a girl saying it tickles parts of me that are pretty nice.
Oh.
But some girls hate it. Good for you. So I don't know.
Well, you know, I mean, now it's like every girl's going for yard of the month. You know, I mean, you know,
what's a yard? What's a yard of the month?
Well, I mean, they all trim their pussies up.
Oh yeah, know, yard of the month. You know, yard.
They're all. Every one of them's. You know, it's either bare. I tell you, when my wife has it all fucking bare, I like that because it's really soft, like
smooth,
a pussy's really soft.
You can feel it smooth.
It's really nice. Yeah. It's really soft. I like that. But I don't mind hair either. Yeah. I don't care, you know.
My first girlfriend was like a feminist, so she wouldn't shave her legs or her bush or whatever.
Ooh, it's a big bush.
Yeah, it was massive. But
she fucked the shit out of you, right?
Oh yeah, it was great. So I just don't care.
Right.
But I like the smooth.
Yeah.
What is that?
I don't know. But I just like the smooth.
Yeah.
Against my cheek. Like sometimes, you know, just after you just fuck, you just down there like, Nice.
Yeah. How much of the weight gain do you think was caused by depression?
A lot of it. Lot of it. Yeah, without a doubt, a lot of it.
I was talking to an ex of mine once recently, and she was saying that about, I was talking about you. Uh-huh. Some of us are worried about you, especially when you almost die.
Yeah.
You know? And it's like, you're just such a positive dude.
Yeah.
Like nobody wants to fucking lose you. But this is what I was telling my friend, and she was like, his doctor should make him see a therapist.
I am.
You are?
I am.
Oh, good.
Yeah, a psychiatrist and a psychologist.
Because it's not just that you're hungry. There's something else making you do this stuff, right?
No. It's not that I'm hungry at all.
What is it then?
Depression.
So it's like, I'll cover it up by eating?
Yeah. You know, sometimes you can't make the pain go away unless, you know, you have a hole and you have to fill the hole.
Ice cream. Or whatever.
I was never a sweet guy.
Really?
Yeah. I was never a sweets guy. We have ice cream in there right now, just for the babies.
And for me later.
Later if you want some, no problem. It's that Nazi ice cream, the Haagen-Dazs.
Oh, really? No, I don't want it.
Oh, sorry.
I can't
extra
support.
Extra Nazi.
They had their own area instead of the ovens. They had the freezers. Nobody knows about that. They put juice in the freezers.
There's a little Jew in every container. That's hilarious.
There's a little Jew in each of us. That'd be a great ad campaign for Haagen-Dazs.
Haagen-Dazs. There's a little Jew in every container.
Oh, we got to make that. If I get a camera, you got to help me make that. There's a commercial for the Nazi Haagen-Dazs.
Nazi Haagen-Dazs.
Yeah.
So funny.
So it's just a pain that like I have to eat. I have to take potato chips. I have to like get something in me.
Yeah, I guess. I guess so. Yeah. It's strange, all right? You know, if I had a grasp of it to tell you, I would tell you.
Yeah.
Because we're friends and I trust you. But
it's hard to understand. I get that.
Yeah. It's hard for me to understand, all right? That's what's difficult. It's hard for me to understand.
Yeah.
You know, if I had a grasp of it, I wouldn't be in the situation that I'm in. You know, I wouldn't be this far gone. You know, as I am.
Yeah, with my depression, I got lucky because it came on. Uh-huh. I could call it lucky. It came on when I was, you know, 30, 31. So I knew what it was like to not be depressed.
Right.
So I compared it to, but you've been depressed. You've had it for.
So I was 17.
Yeah, so you just completely, like, it's just me. You can't tell.
Right. I don't know if I'm too happy for too long.
Yeah.
I wonder what's wrong or what shoe's going to drop.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. And then I do something stupid like, you know, hug a Russian or something like that, and then boom, I'm done.
What do you mean?
It's a kiss of death.
For your disease?
No, it's a kiss of death.
What's hugging a Russian? What is that?
It's bad luck. It's bad luck.
Oh, really?
Yeah, without a doubt.
Hugging a Russian is bad luck?
Russian. What? Hug a Russian. Come on, I'm old school. Wolverines. All right, come on now.
Because I've known anorexic people, too, like the opposite, and it's also depression.
Yeah.
It just makes you, it manifests itself in different ways.
It's different sides of the same coin. Like,
uh-huh.
You know, it's different sides of the same coin. You know, one won't eat, one will eat. You know, one wants to work out all the time and lose weight. One never wants to work out and gains weight.
Yeah.
You know, mine is an insulating thing against the outside world. You know, my mind is a thing against, you know, the what's going on around the world. And so I'm never a victim. You know, I can never be the biggest person height-wise or strength-wise.
Yeah.
But I could be the biggest person size-wise.
To stand out.
Yeah. Well, to protect myself.
What do you mean? How do?
Well, you can't be a victim if you're the biggest person.
Okay.
You know, you can't be a victim. And so in doing so, I assured myself that I was safe.
Even though it's completely not safe.
Exactly. It's not safe at all.
Yeah. Wow. So that was just like, man, it's so weird, the brain, how it just fucks everybody.
Right.
It just fucks everybody if it's off a little.
A little. It doesn't take much at all, Ari.
Yeah, this is different from seeing somebody just like, oh, I just ate too much the last couple of days.
No.
I'm bigger now. It's just like...
No, it stays with you for days and days and days.
Man, so as you're seeing a therapist, I just told my friend this to see a therapist. I'm like, mental health insurance covers a lot of it. Like,
man, it's great. It's great. I love seeing a therapist. I feel so much better.
Yeah.
And it's helped me to be a better father. It's helped me to be a better husband. Yeah.
Things you're not even going in there for in the first place come up.
Right.
Here's what I told this guy, because Pete Carboni told me about it. And he goes, it's pretty much just an hour-long conversation about yourself.
Yeah.
So it's just, you don't have to feel like, well, what are you up to? Like, you just still, and they'll keep it on you and you keep it on you. So you just talk things out.
Yeah. And helps you realize, like, you have most of the answers in you. You know, if you're of sound mind, you know, you most of the answers you have in yourself.
Yeah.
You just have to get to them. You have to get all the extraneous things out of your way.
Stopping you from...
Yeah. What's stopping you from being good?
Yeah.
What's stopping you from succeeding in life?
Lately, I've been doing this thing where it's like, let's just say, for instance, I'm at an airport and the line is real long and I miss my flight. And everyone starts looking at their watch and looking at the line like, fuck, fuck, fuck. And then lately I've been able to talk myself out of it like, hey, either you're going to go to someone and say, I'm going to miss my flight, please let me go first, or just stop thinking about it. It's one or the other. Grumbling and feeling stress is not going to help you.
It's not going to help you.
So then
you control the things you can, and the things you can't worry about.
Yeah, so you tell yourself, just stop.
Yeah, just
stop. If I miss it, I miss it. I'll read a book.
Fuck it.
Who cares?
Whatever. I'll read a book. I'll
be on the internet for 4 extra hours. All right, whatever.
Maybe I'll meet somebody interesting.
Yeah.
You know, when that happens, I look for comedy.
I got delayed in Dallas once. I missed my connection.
Uh-huh.
And I found out what Frito Pie was.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
What a great discovery.
Yeah, right?
Holy shit. That's incredible.
I saw it on the menu at one of those places. I was like, what is Frito Pie?
You're like, what? What are you, Yankee? You never had Frito Pie before? That's incredible.
It's just you dump out some Fritos.
Yeah. And then put this this chili meat thing on top of
chili,
it.
Chili, meat, onions,
and cheese. Onions and sour cream.
Yeah, just go nuts.
What?
It's so fucking good.
It's completely disgusting.
It's completely disgusting.
Completely disgusting and horrible for your body, but it tastes so good at the time.
When you're stoned, it's so delicious.
Oh, my God. Stoned. Holy shit. Now, that DFW airport has got a couple places you can stop out and smoke a joint.
What?
Yeah, I've done that several times.
No, you have not.
I swear to God.
In Texas at the airport?
Yeah.
Where?
In the smoking thing.
And what? Nobody's going to stop you from smoking a joint?
They didn't stop me.
Did no one notice? Or people noticed and just didn't say anything?
I had these great joints that were in this rolling machine.
Uh-huh.
They were really
just looked like
big.
Cigs.
They looked like cigarettes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I just smoked the shit out of two of them. I smoked two of them. And
you can't just have half a hit or anything. You're like, no we're going to smoke.
Who am I? Who am I, Ari? Okay. And then I took a breath strip and continued on my flight.
Wow.
And it was great. I had Listerine with me.
Yeah.
I switched that, and then I sprayed some cologne. And
so you wouldn't smell like weed?
Yeah.
Sometimes I forget, and I'll smoke like a joint, and I'll walk by like regular people, civilians.
Mm-hmm. Whoa,
and they'll like,
oh, Jesus.
They'll look at you all like,
yeah.
Like, oh, it's stuck on me.
I know,
damn
right?
Damn it.
I got that weed stuck on me.
Those breath chips are a lifesaver for planes.
Oh, my God. That's what fucked me when the Guam trip was. I that's why I stopped carrying a wallet, because I had the breath strips in my wallet.
Yeah.
And I had set on my wallet, and I had the heater on my seat.
Yeah.
And the heat combined with the pressure had made the two go into one. Uh-huh. And it was like one thick breath strip.
Oh, they melted together.
Yeah. And I took it, and man, I was like, wow, this breath strip was hitting me like a fucking caboose. And I thought back later, I'm like, holy shit, I opened that thing brand new.
Yeah.
I was like, why is there only one breath strip in here? It's kind of thick. It's thicker than it normally should be.
And just crushes you.
That crushed me.
Also, edible tolerance is different than smoking tolerance.
Right.
It's almost like if you've never ate anything, if you smoke shitloads, it's still going to hit you hard.
It's going to hit you like a fucking...
Yeah. Yeah,
like a ton of bricks.
But like, what was I just going to say? I just forget. The weeds build up in my head. Oh, I took some with Diaz once at a UFC, and we had four of us, and there were two breast strips. Or maybe there were. That's what it was. It was four breast strips. And Diaz was like, let's just go deep. Let's just take one each, a full one, which is already too much.
Right.
And then the one guy didn't want one. So he's like, no, I'm just a boozer. Uh-huh. I don't do it. So I'm like, all right. I started to put it away. And Diaz was like, what are you doing? You don't put shit away.
Yeah.
So he's like, let's go. So I took one and a third. And I was high for 23 hours.
Yeah.
I came down the same point in the day the next day.
Right.
Woke up high. All day long I was high. Those breath strips are the best. They make you fly. It's instead of bad. There's like, let's fun adventure.
Man, I tell you, one time I was flying to New York from LA.
Yeah.
And I thought I was so high. I thought if I got up, I was going to fall through the plane. And I kept on looking out, but I was on the inside. It was like there was only one seat.
Yeah.
It was on the aisle and the window at the same time. It was the first class. It was like a 767. Oh, nice. Yeah. And I looked out and I thought that it was a hole in the plane. It was a window, but I'm on the aisle, so it was freaking me out. Right? I didn't know where I was, what was going on doing. So I just put the seat all the way back and just fucking was just like sailing. Oh my god, I was fucked up.
It's the first class is the best because they'll bring you're like, hey, can I get some more of those nuts?
Yeah, those nuts, like, are awesome.
They're like, yes,
can
sweetheart.
I get a cold drink? Can I get a cold drink, please?
Coming up,
lots of cold drinks. I was flying to on the trip to Guam.
Yeah,
I told the lady, I go, your natural instinct is going to want to wake me up and feed me. But take my food back to my wife and kids back in coach, because my Jew bride wife had gotten coach seats. They didn't want to even go first class.
She's so Jewy. She's refreshingly Jewy.
I know. It's amazing. It's awesome. So great to have.
Because usually, school Jews, especially Jewy girls, they'll stay like, what's the word for not cheap, but you know, the good version of cheap.
Frugal.
There you go. They'll stay that way until they marry.
Right.
And the boy has to keep them in check.
Right.
But Lana fucking saves you cash.
Tons. She's the greatest. Oh my god,
she's the only person I know married to a rich guy that's like,
yeah,
is doing the opposite of spending.
She doesn't
want
to spend any money. She buys very few. The pieces she buys couture,
yeah.
But she buys one piece, and
she brags like a Jew about finding a good deal.
Right, that's what she wants.
She like tells you how much it was always, and then how much she got it for.
Right, but it's never. It's like, you know, rich people usually brag about how much they spend.
Yeah, they don't want it on sale.
Whereas poor people brag about how much they didn't spend.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and she still has that mentality.
Yeah,
which is refreshing.
Yeah,
it's amazing. It's so good to have. You know, I'm glad. I can't gripe at all about the Wyoming I have. I mean, she's terrific. Wife.
Yeah, you guys work out really good together.
Yeah, man, really good, really fucking good.
She's one of those two that's, it's not a real fear, but I've always heard growing up that it was like, if you find somebody after you're famous, or then you never know if they're in it for the money or whatever.
Yeah. But I was with her before I was famous.
You guys struggled together.
Yeah.
So
we lived on 1440 in a studio apartment until the pimp came at the door with the hooker, selling pussy door to door. Okay.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, just like offering?
Offering. And then he knocked on the next door down the hall and the next door.
Here's the woman. What do you think?
Yeah.
How much
was
it?
You want a party?
Oh, just, we didn't get the prices.
You want a party?
Yeah.
And it was like 60 for a half and half.
Pardon me?
60 for a half and half.
What is half and half?
Apparently,
I know what 60 is. That's dollars.
Apparently, half and half is half blowjob, half fuck.
How do you do that?
She sucks your dick for a while, then you fuck her.
Oh, okay. I get it.
Yeah, it's a half and half.
That's just sex. That's just good sex.
Yeah.
If a girl blows you and then sits on top of you, that's just like, they're fucking. She's just good at it.
Yeah.
$60, what'd she look like?
Pretty good.
Really?
Yeah, pretty good.
This is 15, 20 years ago.
No? It was.
Hey, when was Gardner?
Probably 2001,
okay.
2002.
Okay, 10 years ago.
Yeah, 10 years ago.
$60 is not bad at all.
Not bad. But he was going door to door selling pussy. I mean, that's kind of desperate.
Yeah.
Okay? But it was funny because Lon and I were like, what the fuck?
That's not even a bad location.
No. Not, well,
that was right by Guitar Center. Yeah, it's hookery there. It's hookery.
It's really hookery. It's real hookery. You know, I mean, outside there was a fucking, one time we heard a guy to say, you bit my dick, you bit my dick. Okay.
You hired a guy to say that?
No, we heard a guy say that.
To who? About the whore?
Yeah, to a whore. In the alley by El Compadre.
Yeah, let me get a napkin so it doesn't leave stains.
Okay.
But keep going.
It was just a crazy, crazy time. You know, Lana had been with me for years, and it's just a terrific thing to have that type of assurance that you have somebody that loves you for you. You know, that loved me when there was nothing. There was no money, no fame.
Yeah.
No nothing. But, you know, being my wife is a double-edged sword. You know, there's some benefits, obvious, but there's also some negatives. You know, people in this industry don't take her serious as a comic.
Yeah, especially you're just Ralph May's wife.
Right. And it's like, you know, she's a fucking great comic by herself. She doesn't need shit. You know, she doesn't need that. Like, if she wasn't my wife, she'd be further along in the industry.
I can see that.
As far as like stand-ups go in this town, she's a lot stronger than a shitload of them.
Plus, and this is the thing nobody ever understood, when they were like, oh, that's Ralph May's wife. And they're like, which one? Like, her, Lana. And they're like, wait, what? Which one? And it's like, that one right there. It's like, what? She's super cute and tiny.
Right.
And you're like, yeah, it's her. And people are like, wait, what? Ralphie scored that?
Right.
Like, yeah, Ralphie scored that.
Yeah.
But if she was single... This is just something girls benefit from in
right.
Hollywood.
Everybody wants
the
to fuck
thought
her.
That they possibly could fuck her will help her get along.
Right.
And she probably lost out on all that.
Yeah, she lost out on all that.
Yeah.
And it's a shame. It's a shame.
Yeah. Yeah. But anyway, so you sent that stuff back to her for Coach? I don't remember what we're talking about.
I send the food back to her. Yeah. And I said, I'm going to pass out. I'm really tired.
Yeah.
Okay. And I was asleep from that breast strip before we pulled back from the gate, all right? Mm-hmm. And I land, you know, it's for me, it's like I fall asleep, all right? And then I land in Hawaii.
No time passed.
No time passed.
That's 5 hours.
All right?
It's from here or from Nashville?
From here.
Okay.
It's like 6 hours, yeah. Okay? And we land, and I just drink a liter of water, a big old Fiji thing of water, all right?
Still stoned.
I'm just stoned out of my gourd.
It's the worst when you wake up when you're still high,
because
it just feels like, like groggy at first.
Right.
And then after an hour, you realize...
I'm really baked. Yeah. I knew I was really baked when I was going on, but I didn't think I was this stoned. I mean, I was stoned.
When you went on stage, you were still stoned?
No. I was just trying to move flights. All right, I was getting my shit together to go off this plane to get to another plane, and I'm like, I was getting up, and the flight attendants came over and go, "Can we get a photograph with you?" I'm like, "Sure, no problem." They go, "You were so funny." I'm like, well, what do you mean? On TV? And they go, no, during the flight.
That you were asleep for?
Yeah. I'm like, what did I do?
You blacked out on weed?
Yeah. And I go, what did I do? And they go, you just did one thing. It was hilarious. I'm like, what happened? Well, the pilot came on and said we reached our cruising altitude of 38,000 feet. And you yelled, some of us are a little higher inward. I said, some of us are a little higher, nigger. All right. And... yes, that's what you said.
Oh, N-word.
Yeah, and I said the real thing. Okay, she said N-word to me.
On first class?
Yeah, in first class. And I'm like, oh my God, who do I have to apologize to? Because I remember there was a black couple there that was on the honeymoon. All right.
It's and the were, worst when you say it as a joke and
oh
there's someone
my God.
Around.
Oh my God. And she goes, no, they thought it was hilarious. They're big fans of yours. All right? And they took pictures with you while you were asleep.
Like right. Shot down
yeah,
by
the
head.
Black guy, right, is taking pictures while I'm passed out. Okay, all right, and so I was like, oh, thank God for that. And then a zombie walked over to the next plane and took that one to Guam, and then that was same thing. Okay, out.
And that's when you got caught with all that.
Yeah, that's when pot. I got caught with 14 grams of weed. So stupid.
So this is about how much? It was way less. Than the stuff you coughed up. 14 grams of weed. You just had no idea was in there, huh?
I had no idea.
Dude, that video online. Where is that video?
It's called Smoke Stories.
Yeah, it's the
it's
best.
It's on YouTube.
Okay.
It's really funny.
you just had people act out the story. It was so fucking good.
Yeah.
I don't want to ruin any of it for people.
Please go watch it. It's hilarious.
Yeah, it's so good. But the just who you got to play certain roles. So yeah. I'm just not going to say.
The guy who played me, yeah. The male model. Hilarious.
So great. He was just a stunning, like, Spanish, like a brilliantly looking man. It was just he looked like, yeah, that's a god.
It's a god. Yeah. I know.
And he was like, what? Weed? I don't know what you're talking about. It was like, it was so great.
Funny.
That's a great casting.
It was hilarious. Yeah. So funny. But the whole thing was just...
Smoke stories. I saw that. I laughed. I watched that with Jordy Fox in Austin last year.
Oh, wow. Really?
Yeah. And I think he showed it to me. And we laughed so fucking hard.
It was really funny, man. And as I'm doing that, I'm smoking real weed.
Yeah.
So I'm getting stoned as I'm telling the story. Oh, my God. I got baked. Like, we had to shoot the fucking end of it like 4 times because I was just so stoned.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Man, I caught a lot of shit for that, man.
What?
You know, when that went down and the story broke.
Yeah.
Yeah, when the story broke, man, I mean, everybody threw me under the bus. It was like Jay Leno made jokes about me. Jon Stewart, Stephen Colbert.
Really?
David Letterman.
But, oh God, but they weren't biting jokes, right? They were just like...
He's dumb, okay? He's dumb jokes, okay?
Yeah.
But the worst was Keith Olbermann.
You didn't know. You didn't know you had it.
I didn't know I had it, all right? And Keith Olbermann's the one who really pissed me off because April was... we were watching MSNBC... And Keith Olbermann's show was on, and Keith Olbermann named me after he did a story about a Tennessee town councilman who wouldn't let a fire company put out a fire that was 60 feet out of city limits.
Because it wasn't his responsibility?
Because hadn't paid like $60 and his neighbors were paying the money and hadn't been done in the right way and the right time.
So they just let his house burn down?
So they let the guy's house burn down to the ground.
Ugh.
All right. And then he named me one of the worst persons of the world. Okay. And April started crying. My daddy's not one of the worst people in the world.
Aww.
And so just the disappointment in my daughter's face. And
they weren't trying to do that.
Man. It was a dick
move. One of the worst people in the world.
I know. Come on. Really, dude? Really?
How about, I can see this. Bonehead move of the day.
Yeah. Dummy.
Yeah.
Okay? But worst people of the world. Come on. Seriously, bro.
Gaddafi was still loose
exactly,
at this time.
Exactly.
Like, what are you talking about?
Bin Laden was still
Osama
alive.
Osama bin Laden.
Okay. Terrorists were alive.
Nope. You know? Ralphie May.
Yeah.
For getting weed.
You know, genocide. Yeah. The Sudan. Okay.
He had weed in his bag.
He had weed. He forgot he had it. It was Snoop Dogg weed, too. That's what sucks.
He gave you the weed.
Yeah, he had signed the bag, too.
That's almost like an honor to smoke.
I know,
him.
Man. That's why I kept fucking didn't have it with my other weed because it was special weed, you know?
Set it aside.
I'd taken probably $4,000 worth of marijuana products out of my bag, you know? That's what sucked. Is that I'd taken all that out of my bag, and in doing so, I thought I got it all. You know, you take $4,000 worth of marijuana.
That should be all of it.
You should have got it all. Okay, I have 4 grams of shake in the bottom of my backpack. Four grams. Over
shake is good sometimes.
It's great.
It's all the crystals going.
Oh my
god,
it's the best.
They sell it to you for cheaper, but it's like, wow, it's already ground.
It's the best. It's the best. I love that better than anything, man.
You get a couple stems in there.
Who cares?
But barely. You just pick those out real easy.
Yeah. Man, you know, when I would do...
You get stems on a clove also. On a big bud, there's stems in there.
When I would do a... when I was smoking a lot of weed, I had a big jar, okay? I put all my weed in a big jar.
Yeah.
And at the end of the year, I'd have about 5 or 6 ounces of shake.
Yeah.
Okay? And that's what I'd smoke on for the last like 2 weeks, okay, and man, that shit was so strong, bro. Oh my god,
yeah,
that was the best of the weed of the week of the year. And you just get to a level, and you're just like, what?
Oh, I love that level.
I'm so high.
I love that level.
It was the best.
I got that last night. It was just like, people are like, oh, I just like to get stoned a little bit. I'm like, I like to get obliterated.
Right, right.
And I don't want to fuck around. Down into a nice stoned.
Right. I'm not here to fuck around.
Yeah. I want to stare at a corner for over an hour.
I don't know why you want to fuck around. I don't know why I want to fuck around.
Don't.
Why are we
around.
Dancing with it? Why are we just going halfies with it? Like, we have a friend, and I don't know why he's way richer than even I am, but he wants to smoke the tiniest joints. All right, and
yeah,
it's
those
like
pinners, like
yeah,
why?
Like why? What does this do? What does this do? I have to smoke weed before I hung out with him, so I could smoke
pre-smoke?
His weed.
Yeah,
yeah.
I've done that before. I do that
pre-smoke
once in a while.
Or like, he like gets halfway done. Is that it for everybody? No.
What are you even talking about?
What are you talking about? Hold on. Let me kill that, and then I've got these other three joints.
That would
here.
Be like if you've eaten 3 spoons of soup.
Right.
Are you guys all done with your meals? You're like, what?
What?
This is just the soup. I haven't even gotten the rest of the steak. And
where's the meal?
No, I'm not done with my meal.
No. No way am I done. And that's what puzzles me.
What?
And he's such a, I mean, quote-unquote authority now on marijuana, and he only smokes a pinner. And it's like, dude, you're rich. Why are we smoking pinners? Okay, why don't you break out the triple diffuser bong at death?
What's a triple diffuser bong?
It filters the water 3 times. Okay, it filters the smoke 3 times. And so the smoke is completely cooled.
Cool, yeah.
Okay, and it's like got all the impurities out of it. And so what you're hitting is just THC, man, and it is just
there's something about a
incredible.
Bong where it just fills that up and makes it look milky.
Oh my god, I had I was at the University of Montana. I was doing a gig in Missoula.
Do you hold on? Let me ask you before you start this. Do you worry at all about? I don't think you do, but at all talking about pot when you know places like the University of Missouri might be hiring you.
No,
in Montana.
No,
you're just like I am what I am.
I am what I am.
That's how I feel,
and
too.
It was a long time ago.
Okay.
It was a long time ago anyways. And,
okay.
And if they're going to be like that, then fine. I don't. When I do gigs like this, I don't smoke with anybody on the thing. But I don't smoke weed anymore anyway, so I don't give a shit. Fuck
good point.
They can't take a joke, take a cab, you know, go fuck yourself. We hit on this thing. It was the greatest bong I've ever seen.
Yeah.
It was these guys, they made it. And it was glass pipe that went down a hall, and then it was a connect.
Down a hall?
Down a hall, 12 feet down
a hall. In a dorm room?
And down a, in a big frat house.
Okay.
Okay,
yeah, it
went down a hall, all right, and then went up a staircase.
What?
It was on the outside rail of a staircase. And at the top, it had a it was like a rubber hose, okay, that connected to another glass piece.
What?
That was in a bull's skull, okay, and they had sealed it into
like a
bull's
real
skull.
Bull skull,
a real bull skull
in Montana.
In Montana,
Christ, yeah.
And they burned an eighth at the bottom, okay, and it was an ice tray. They would fill it full of ice, okay,
all the way
down the hall, okay, all right. And so
just cooling
it would
it.
Be super cool, all right. And they used a vacuum cleaner to draw up the smoke.
What?
These guys were genius. I'd never seen.
Go into the bag of a vacuum cleaner or something.
It didn't because it would just draw up the smoke, and you could see the smoke coming.
Yeah.
And they had a it was take teamwork, right? And and they would have a guy down there with a torch, and they all right hit the vacuum, all right? And he would be using the vacuum and the torch at the same time.
Really?
Right? And he'd draw the smoke into it. They burn it all to ash. Okay, with the torch, which is extra hot, so it get complete burn, right, and very fast burn, and it was amazing because it would draw in all the smoke. And my friend Mimi Gonzalez, who's a comic, she took a hit and passed out. Okay,
just immediately,
like I've never seen anybody do that. Okay,
really?
Pass out, yeah. And they said most people when they kiss the bull pass out. And I did, and I didn't. I didn't pass out, and I took 3 hits. And that was the stonedest I've ever been. And that is the superlative of stoned.
Wow.
Stoned.
Yeah, those hash for a little while. Did you ever go to the one on Melrose when they had that hash bar in the back?
Yeah.
LA Confidential?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it not doing it anymore?
When they had the last batch of crackdowns, they got worried. They're like, let's not tempt this. Even though I don't get why it's a problem. It's a pot store. You can smoke that pot in the back. I don't really get it, but
I don't either.
Apparently, but those Illadelph bongs and that hash would hit you where you'd feel it going into your brain. Those like butter hits and stuff like that, things like that, where you're like, and you're just like, I'm so fucking high. There's no 5 minutes of waiting.
No,
it's just like it's in me.
Yeah,
you get, like sweated out and stuff.
It's terrific.
Fuck.
Yeah, kissing the bull was the stonest I've ever been.
So you kiss the, that's what they call it, kissing the bull. I wonder if that's still there.
I don't know, man, but it is fucking
how much
phenomenal.
Of an addict does it make me feel that I, when you tell me this, I'm like, I gotta get booked at University of Montana.
I know, Montana.
When I'm gonna let them check my
bookings. It was fucking incredible. It was a Triple Hell gig, and it was fucking great.
Oh, it's one of those triple runs.
Yeah, it was a triple run in Missoula. But it was the best part about that fucking whole trip.
Man.
It was terrific.
Just that. So
terrific, absolutely.
How come the stomach stapling didn't work, by the way? How come the gastric bypass didn't like do more?
It did.
It made you lose a bunch?
Over 300 pounds.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it did everything it was supposed to do.
Because people have asked that. They're like, I've heard he got his stomach stapled. Like, why isn't he thinner? But it's just that situation that people just haven't noticed.
Right.
The amount of weight loss it was. Oh, okay.
If you look at pictures, you can tell. I mean,
that picture from Iraq or whatever you're talking about, the truth, it was like, that's from the side. It's like you're completely round.
Yeah.
God.
Yeah.
When you get that big, are you scared of dying at all?
No.
You're just not even thinking about it.
I didn't know I was that big. There's no scale that can fit you.
Yeah, 350 and you're done, right?
Right.
Wow. So how do you know you're 425 now? Digital stuff at the doctor's office?
Digital doctor's office now.
You got to get one of those big scales?
Mm-hmm. A doctor's office.
I think that's what Diaz said once when he was losing weight. He goes, I just want to get weighed. That's my goal, is to be able to weigh myself.
Right.
You know? Man. I'm sorry to jump around all the time.
No. Meander.
I got so high once on a plane on edibles. I just took a cookie.
Uh-huh.
Have you ever like OD'd on them?
No, you can't.
Well, I've gotten twice. I gave one to, I got the banana bread to this girl once who didn't have any tolerance.
Oh my God.
And I tried to give her like a silver dollar size amount. Mm-hmm. I should have given her a dime size amount. And she was sweating and she had to like throw up.
Wow.
And I got like that a couple times where I just start sweating, like profusely sweating. And I got it once on a plane where I have low blood pressure, and then the pills I take makes it worse. So if I stand up real fast, I gotta like hold on to something.
Yeah.
Because the blood just rushes down to my feet. But we were taking off on a plane and everything was spinning, and I started thinking, all the blood's gonna rush to my feet while we take off. And then I'm gonna pass out. But then we're gonna keep taking off, so the blood is gonna stay in my feet, and I'm just gonna die here.
Wow.
I almost had them.
Were you
like,
freaking out?
Yeah, I was like really. If I wasn't sitting next to Rogan, it would have been embarrassing. I was like thinking of going to the stewardess, like, get me off the plane, get me off, don't take off. I want to get off. Like, I was so close to like.
Wow.
But I was like, I'm probably imagining this right now, so don't be embarrassed. Just don't say it. No, whatever.
Hey, it's Fred Helmer, and I'm gonna sing a song for you. And Bill's gonna show you a thing or two. You'll have some fun now with me and all the gang. Learning from each other while we do our thing.
All right, that's the end of episode one of Fat. I hope you guys enjoyed it. I'm going to have the second episode in a day or two. I'm sorry, I've been on the road so fucking much. It's so hard for me to finish these quickly. I have a day at home before I have to go to Kansas City. I'm just trying to rush these out, and I just get tired. T-shirts and other stuff will be up on my website very soon. I'm going to have some merchandise, a little extra cool surprise besides T-shirts will be up there that I'm excited about. The people in Denver saw it. It's something more useful than a T-shirt. So go to my website soon. I'll have all that. I'll Twitter it. I'll send out, and I'll just announce it on here when I have all that stuff ready. But thank you very much, Ralphie May, for coming in. For inviting me to your house. That was really cool. And then there's more coming, so don't go anywhere. Check back in. And please subscribe to these. Subscribe on iTunes or on Stitcher so that you get these every week. You don't forget. So many people are like, oh, I listened to a few of them, and I liked them, and then I completely forgot. So, So subscribe. Please subscribe on iTunes. And then also tell people. tell your friends if you like them, so that this gets more popular and I can keep doing them. And I don't feel like I had a lot of friends, fans come out in Denver from the podcast. So if you guys, skeptics, how, what are we going to call each other? Skanks, somebody said, for short for skeptic tanks, but I don't like that because skank sounds weird. Tankers, skankers, no, that's a whole different thing. That's a dance. Skeptics, I think. So you skeptics that have come out, thank you. You guys are really cool. You clearly get it, so it makes the shows way more better. Way better, not more better. And don't forget, Shroomfest is coming quickly. July 21st, July 22nd, July 23rd. It's time. Get your mushrooms right now. Just get them right now and keep them in the freezer. Just be ready. We got like 2 months left. I'm pretty sure I know where I'm going, but I'm not positive. But just make a plan. Go to Disneyland. Do something. Fucking go to the park. You don't have to go to anything crazy special if you don't want to. Just fucking enjoy them. Lock yourself in your apartment and do them if you're scared. Get a friend. They're way more fun. I've fully started that primer for mushrooms. I'll have that up. I'll announce it when I have it up. Probably 2 more weeks because I want to make sure it's complete. And then also, I guess this, if I write it and then if I've left stuff out, write me immediately and I'll just change it. That's the great thing about the internet. You can just add or subtract or delete. So yeah, write me and let's make a great primer so people who don't know about mushrooms can fucking have like the most information possible about having a great trip. Because I used to think you could go crazy, you could like spaz out on mushrooms and be like that forever, just like crack your brain, but you really can't. So cannot. So yeah, they're totally fine. Even if you take way, way too many, it just might not be a good trip, but you're fine. Like, you'll be fine. So get in on those quickly as possible. And then, again, have fun with it, man, and tell everybody else. Shroomfest 2012, July 21st, 22nd, 23rd. If you're not familiar with it, I'll just break it down like this. Shroomfest is just an international mushroom festival. People all over the world are doing mushrooms together. And by together, I mean on a plane of reality that only you can be on if you're on mushrooms. I don't mean going to any specific place. I mean wherever you are. People in Denmark did them. People in fucking, some guy in Israel did it. People all over the fucking world are doing it. So it's going to be the same this year, July 21st, 22nd, and 23rd. Get your mushrooms, make your plans, and that's how you participate in Shroomfest. People are like, where is it? It's more like a state of mind. It's more like Christmas. Where's Christmas? Everywhere. That's how Shroomfest is. So until tomorrow, the next day, thank you guys very much for tuning in. Ari Shaffir, Skeptic Tank, episode 59A, over and out.